Now on 103.2 Dublin City FM, it's Dublin's only, and in fact, Ireland's only, garden radio show. From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM, Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show. It's Friday, it's 3 p.m. and you're listening to 103.2 Dublin City FM with The Sod Show. Or quite possibly it's not Friday or 3 p.m. and you're listening online or on podcast. Either way, you're very welcome to the show. As usual, it's brought to you with very kind thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show. I'm Niall O'Keefe and I'm the non-gardening one, the one for whom plants and flowers are split into two categories. Those that make me explode in fits of sneezing, and those that don't and just look pretty. Anyway, the theme for this week's show is nice and simple: a weekend in the life of a happy gardener. The happy gardener in question is The Sod Show's own Peter Dunnigan, who along with his 2-year-old daughter Ella will be happily dispelling the myth that this is not the right time of year to be out in the garden. Add to this some music from a blues legend, the man who Billy Joel said was more important to rock and roll than Elvis Presley himself. I'm talking about Ray Charles. We'll hear an upbeat classic from him very shortly. Before all that, now it's time for this week's gardening news. And first, a quick plug: a product which Peter Dunnigan has noticed and which gets his two big green thumbs up for their personal touch, as well as the fact that they're Irish and made out of trees, is carve cases. If you've got an iPhone, even including the new longer, thinner, faster, sexier looking iPhone 5, and you want a case with a difference, then these are the guys for you. Carve cases. They make lovely wooden cases for the iPhone with a variety of designs that can be carved into them, from text, including your own Twitter name, say, to complex artwork. For more, check out carvecases.com, and it's another way to support Irish jobs, which is always a good idea in times like these. Now, the first finding in the north of Ireland of the tree disease cholera, also known as ash dieback disease, has been confirmed. The disease of ash trees, which is caused by the fungus cholera fraxinae, was identified in young ash saplings at 5 sites in counties Down and Antrim. The plants, all linked to continental imports, showed symptoms of the disease, and after samples were sent for laboratory analysis, results proved positive. Statutory notices have been served on the owners of the plantations requiring destruction of around 5,000 affected ash saplings and associated plant debris. The Department of Agriculture in the north is also investigating a number of other sites planted with imported ash saplings as part of its ongoing surveillance programme. The Minister for Agriculture and Rural Development in the north, Michelle O'Neill, says they've alerted officials here in the south and are continuing to work closely with them. All stakeholders are being asked to be alert for signs of the disease and report any findings. Well, a few weeks ago we dedicated a whole show to Phil Voice of Landscape Juice Network. If you remember, it was he who drove over 1,200 miles from the south of France to the north of Scotland on an Atesia ride-on lawnmower. Well, as he mentioned at the time, the mower itself is to be auctioned off to raise more vital funds for the perennial charity in the UK. Now, the machine in question also comes fitted with an all-weather cab complete with heating system, windscreen wipers and lighting system, making the H124 an all-year-round workhorse, and it's actually worth in excess of £36,000 sterling. The auction starts on the 7th of January from 9 a.m, with bids starting at £19,000 sterling. And we'll have the links for more information on this up on sodshow.com. Own a piece of history, why not? Finally for now, the Visitor Centre of the National Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin is hosting an exhibition of art, paintings inspired by the glasshouses at the gardens themselves. Michael Dillon, known more for his decorative painting and mural work, has found a distraction from walls in the palaces of light and reflection at the National Botanic Gardens. As it says here, the combination of exotic flora, ambitious ironwork and glazing offer him an exciting opportunity to create and design work with his own special vision and vue. I don't know what VIV is, but that's what it says here. V-E-U-V-E, VIV. The exhibition is taking place daily in the Visitor Centre at National Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin in Dublin, and it runs up until Sunday, December the 2nd. Now, Peter Dunnigan, in his eternal botanical wisdom, has green fingers and terribly itchy green fingers they are too. So unlike last week, it was once again now impossible to get him into the studio to talk about all things horticultural. Instead, he decided to prove the point that despite what you may think, now is actually a great time of year to get out into the garden and get some essential work done. Now, I'm happy here in my comfy studio with my warm cup of coffee and my microphone and my faders and my buttons and all those kind of things. I'm in my element with all that stuff. So Peter decided to get back to where he's in his element, and he hopes tempt us all to do the very same. Sure, you never know, you might enjoy it. Hey, who knows, even I might if I try it. So without further ado, let's head out to the wilds of Ballybohol for a few reports on just what it's like spending a weekend in the shoes of a happy gardener who's got some work to do. Peter.
Hey Niall, it's Saturday afternoon and in the background you may hear a couple of sounds. One of them is Ella, 2.5 years old and about knee tall. The other is the dog, who's a little bit older, well, not maybe in dog year, well, in dog years definitely. And the other is the hens. Let's see if we can get a little bit of audio sounds from them. No, you might do. Nonetheless, today's chore and how I like to spend my Saturdays once I'm finished doing gardening work is pottering around the back garden with a cup of tea and a wheelbarrow and doing a little bit, I don't know, the Monty Don, except with less precision. That's the baby, not the hens. Chore of the day while I try and regain my concentration. You couldn't plan this one if you tried. Plan of the day is to crown raise a whole lot of trees. I have some, for those who are of the technical type of botanical Latin heads, there to my left are some Carpinus betulus, which are hornbeam, and they won't get a whole lot of pruning. Maybe just a little bit of a, what the ladies may know as trimming the split ends. Is that the right terminology there? There are some oaks which I planted. This sounds a bit silly, but partly the reason for planting my oak was I always wanted an oak tree in my garden. I know I cannot keep it forever, but better to have loved than never loved at all, wouldn't you say? And in that context, the lower branches, the lower limbs, need to be stripped, and that is known as crown raising. Next to them are some Sorbus ocuparia, rowan or mountain ash are the other names that are given to them. And in the middle of the garden are about four, there were five, Betula jacumontii. We can put these names up on sideshow.com, but they're just, a few of the trees in my garden. One of the things I really wanted was the sound of birds in the garden. You know, birds, no offence to them, don't really like, or don't really graze, if that's the right word to use, in the middle of a multi-storey car park. I think that like things a little bit more foliar, if that's the correct terminology again to use. So crown raising is chore of the day. The beauty about it is that there are some tree straps to be loosened and some tree stakes that need, well, they're semi-broken. They've got damaged over the last two and a bit seasons, or weakened, you might say. Within that, the nice bit is that my office, or where I have my studio or my wee little room that I do all my garden doodles in, is heated on a wood-burning stove. So the excess timber from my own garden gets chopped up and gets put into that, so there's nothing really left to waste, and the foliage and twigs will be thrown onto the green waste heap, and then the weeds that I will tidy away from around the base, well, they'll go to the hen, so everybody gets a share of the spoils. The sound you have just heard is a secateur's going through what is a 1-inch, 2-inch stem of a 7-foot sunflower. The heads, as I carry them up to the green waste heap, look a little bit like a bad Flora Margarine ad for some reason or another. Probably sign of the times of a couple of low temperature nights that we've had. But today's 10-15 minute get out and about chore is, I suppose, to tidy up. I've always said gardening is a little bit hindsight. Very much about hindsight, or that if you could see into the future and go backwards about 3-4 months ago, you'd have the perfect garden. In this case, it's the removal of the pots where the radishes have just gone to the tail end of the season. The mint is probably needs to be divided. The herb bed needs a good clear out after what happened last year, a bit of this year, a bit of the year before. And the funny thing is all of the pots that I had used were second-hand pots. They were from old trees, so they're like about the size of a barrel you'd give your auntie at Christmas time with a few bedding plants in it. And I just filled them up from about halfway upwards with compost, and the rest was a little bit of mulch or aero board or styrofoam or anything else that was lying around, because you're only going down about 2-3 inches in depth. However, what I'm hesitant to do with second-hand compost is to replant into it, because you tend to get this, I don't know, 1981, I remember, Santa got me this glow-in-the-dark action man. And frightened the bedevilment out of me, or the bejesus out of me, if I remember rightly. But what results from using dirty pots that have not been sterilised, Milton baby fluid or one of them will actually do the job, also tied with dirty compost or compost that's been overused, is a pest by the name of vine weevil, V-I-N-E, separate word, W-E-E-V-I-L. So vine weevil. And what it tends to do is eat the roots of the plants. And so what you see is one plant dying, but you don't actually know why until the thing has actually been brought to its knees, pardon the bad use of a cliche. And that is a sole, or just about sole, result of dirty pots and dirty compost, or what is known horticulturally as bad garden hygiene. That doesn't mean that you don't use deodorant and wash your face. So what I will do with that is throw it onto the big compost heap where the bits of leaves and foliage and the whole lot goes, and in about 5 years' time the vine weevil will be no more. Big thing to do today is to get some garlic cloves or bulbs planted. So last year's cloves were harvested. You take 90% and you eat them and you freeze them, and you take the other 10% and you replant them. So you should never have to buy garlic cloves again for planting once you actually have one. Will the supermarket one do it? In my opinion, yes. Try not to get one from China. Try and get one that's been organically grown just for the first one. Generally speaking, hopefully it's got an Irish label on it. Excellent. Right, to get the garden, the herb garden, ready for Christmas so I look all green and glowing when the relatives call around. Yours truly. Talk to you in a while, Niall.
Okay, Peter, I'm going to leave you to that, and we're going to take our song of the week. As you've been inspired lately to get up and get out there and do some work, and not only has getting up and getting out meant that you could get some work done, it means you can get some exercise too. So, like soul and rock and roll legend Ray Charles says, go on, get up, shake a tail feather.
Well, I heard about the fella you've been dancing with all over the neighborhood. So why didn't you ask me, baby? Or didn't you think I could? Well, I know that the boogaloo is out of sight, but the shingling's a thing tonight. But if that was you and me, I got baby, I would have shown you how to do it right. Do it right.
Uh-huh.
Do it right.
Do it right.
Do it right. Shake, baby. Have it go loop-de-loop.
It's one of the most memorable scenes in a truly iconic movie of the 80s from the Blues Brothers, the scene where the guys get a load of instruments and equipment from Ray's Music Exchange and pay with an IOU. That's Ray Charles with Shake a Tail Feather on The Sod Show. Well, if there's a song that you think has a gardening connection and you'd like us to feature it, be sure to get in touch. All the relevant contact details are up on sodshow.com. Right now, we're going to go back to Ballybohol for our weekend in the life of a happy gardener. Peter, what are you up to now?
Just moved about 10 large pots of chives that I grew from seed this year. And if you are looking for the quickest and easiest way to get chives into your garden, find a neighbour who has a clump, lift it up, split it. And I mean, literally, if you can imagine, pulling apart two lumps of big oven baked bread at a Viking feast type thing. You get the bit that I'm talking about, that kind of a style. So you put your fingers down in the middle and just tear it apart, and it'll come apart like, you know, maybe knotted hair is the best way to describe it. And just take yourself a small clump. You should really lift and divide them anyway. You'll find you'll get better results, and that's exactly what I've been doing. A couple of more clumps to divide, and then I think the next part of the herb bed will go to the parsley, which will do its own thing. The mint, however, is the one that I love at Christmas time for the mojitos. You're a big fan of them, Niall. And what I tend to do is I have cavity blocks that you'd use for building a house. They cost about 2-3 quid. If you were looking for the cheapest herb garden ever, one bag of compost, not even. Borrow a couple of handfuls, book it, and get 2 or 3 cavity blocks for about 2 quid a pop. Fill them with compost and throw a couple of mint seeds and a couple of parsley seeds and a couple of whatever type of other seeds you like, coriander or something along the lines of, drop them into it and let that be that, and nature will look after the rest. It's just hitting dusk. It's about 5:10. It's starting to get a little dark overhead. We've got a good 3 hours pottering around the garden completed. Back is a little bit aching. A little bit. It's been a long week. Don't get me wrong. It's been a long week. You know, do this for a living, also do for a hobby. But I wouldn't stop for the world. It's funny when you take a stand back and you see what's being done in a kind of very relaxing manner. Not stressful. I don't think I ever have been stressed in a garden. But a little bit of crown raising here to let a little bit of light through. A little bit of tidying around the base of one plant hitter ditter. Little bit of tiddling on there and tidying on that, separating and dividing of some plants. A happy baby in the background, annoying the bejesus out of two dogs. Bejesus is my new word for this this week's show. And I think I feel just that bit brighter in myself, even though I've been up since the wee hours of this morning working in somebody else's garden. It is amazing to this day still, the joy that talking to the plants gives me. Yeah. Other than that, and I think the flip side of it is dad has got to spend a couple of hours with daughter, and that's always a good thing. It's also amazing, I think, to an extent, how instinctively genteel I've noticed Ella become with plants, and how she knows to be delicate with the leaves and knows not to pick the mint leaves as versus knows to grab a bunch of parsley. And yeah, I wouldn't let her use the secateurs now to cut some chives off, if you understand me, but you get where I'm coming from. Just after taking down a large bough of what appears to be dead stump of a tree, girth or dimension width is about maybe 1.5 feet wide, but just overcome with an extremely vigorous ivy to the point that it just chokes the bedevilment. Sounds you'll hear in the background, funnily enough, is possibly wee young Ella, 2 foot tall, bouncing around. What the ivy does, funnily enough, if you're taking a close look at it, is it tends to produce almost like, if you can imagine prit sticking a length of rope to a telegraph pole, it's the easiest way to describe it, but then it tends to produce these little fine white root hairs that tend to sucker into, be it concrete or tree, it doesn't matter, a dicky. And the whole thing about ivy is it's the ultimate in competition for light. If you drive the avenue, funnily enough, of the Phoenix Park from the Castleknock gate entrance in, you will see sometimes the way the ivy is treated. on the large individual trees that line that avenue, most of them Ascalus hippocastanum or horse chestnut, is that they tend just to go around the base of them with a saw. And every alternate tree, they take about 2-3 inches to almost cut a ring around it, as a rabbit might if it was skinning the base of a tree, the bark off it, that is. And that is enough to stop the root or the base or the soil going straight to the tip, and essentially it kills itself off. In my case, when you drive the back roads of Ballybohol, what you will see is ash trees and hawthorn trees just overclad, like big Michelin men type suits, just covered in this mass of green when everything else is out of leaf and out of foliage. It's phenomenal to see it. But what you will also see where trees are literally just slowly but surely smothered, collapsed, fallen over, can't produce at its age the growth that is necessary to compete with the speed at which the ivy can. And so it's important now and again to get into it and give it a good battering. And funnily enough, if you look at the girth or the width of the stem that I cut down, what you'll actually see is that what is smothering it, the combined stem, it's probably about a 3-to-1 ratio. Absolutely phenomenal, but another job done. What do you do with the branches that you cut down? Straight on top of the compost heap. What is the compost heap made out of? Pallets. Something that I noted on the blog some time ago, and I saw it up in Snarta Ecology Centre done quite recently, and they have a range of compost heaps on display, and there's ones that you can see in any hardware store or super duper garden centre store that cost up to about 120-140 quid, and then Snarta show you the one that's tied together with a couple of lengths of rope and 4 pallets in a square, and you're kind of going, yep, there's logic. That's it, Niall, just for the moment. I'll chat to you shortly. Take care. Bye.
No problem, Peter. We'll return to you shortly. First, I just want to give a note of thanks to Jane Powers, who gave a little note of acknowledgement to us in her Jane Digs section of our gardening column of the Sunday Times the week before last. The article basically says that Jane Digs, the sod show, the winner of the best podcast in the recent Blog Awards Ireland, the half-hour show with gardener Peter Dunnigan and non-gardener Niall O'Keefe, that's me, is broadcast at 3 p.m. on Fridays on Dublin City FM 103.2. It's also on iTunes and sodshow.com. Well, we couldn't have put it better and more succinctly ourselves, Jane, and we'd happily, highly recommend your own gardening blog on onebeanrow.com. That's onebeanrow.com. Any day. By the way, iTunes and our Audio Boo channel, which you can find on sodshow.com, are the places to go to find the Sodshow archives, with shows going back over 90 episodes and covering topics as diverse as hedges and hedging, homeopathy, Heritage Week, and many more, beginning and not beginning with the letter H. You can, of course, subscribe and get it delivered direct to your mobile phone. And like all others, today's episode will be online shortly after we go out on air. Right, let's get back for a final few minutes to a garden in Ballybohol, to Peter Dunnigan and 2.5-year-old Ella Dunnigan. And it sounds like there's a bit of work going on out there.
So what's happening now, Niall, is the trimming or the pruning of a bush that I had. It was I wanted something nice but not standoutish for the great reasons. It was a dog that we had by the name of Bobby about 6 years ago, and passed away. And I decided to turn it, I decided to do a little bit of topiary on it. And topiary is, in short, you know these trees you would see outside people's front doors? They'd be almost like a bare stem and then a lollipop kind of a shape on top. Well, can you imagine then turning it into a twirl or a twist or a shape of a dog or an elephant or something along the lines of, that's when it's done, you might say, to an extreme level. So this one is just like a spiral going upwards. The problem is obviously that to go out of shape and just to keep it back in. And I let it go for about 2-3 years. So it actually morphed itself back into an ordinary shrub. And it's just bringing it back into that spiral staircase almost effect. Again, Isla, I know you'll put all the links up for this up on sodshow.com. Gonna get on with this. Little bit to go. Painstaking, nice, but then I have my cup of tea to keep me company, and Ella, and the 2 dogs, and the 3 hens, and the cats in the cradle. No, is that the right song? Anyhow, I'll think about it while I'm pruning. Talk to you shortly. Take care. It's about 5 minutes to five now. It's just starting to get dark. The last bit that I've done this evening is a hedge that's probably about 4 or 5 metres long. It's a bay laurel hedge, Laurus nobilis, one I've noted on before. It's an evergreen hedge that produces a berry and also a beautiful yellow flower. But the big thing is if you want free herbs for your garden, bay laurel hedge is exactly what you'll be throwing into your Christmas stock this coming season. Do you know what's gas? It's about 2 hours of pure relaxation, a little bit of physical walking around, spending time with the daughter, and I think it might be a little bit different for others who are doing this, I suppose, more as a hobby, but you know, the place looks better. I do feel better for it. I think we're happier because of it, and yeah, baby, you know, it's gas, it's refreshing, it's beautiful, it looks nice, it looks happier, it looks like I, you know, the other time you let that patch of the garden go, and the odd time you just need to go in and go, hold on a second, you never looked right, whip that one out. And I've done a little bit of that as well, a little bit of select removal, hit or ditter, a little bit of pruning. Are you singing a song?
No.
On the happiness index, we score 100, don't we? Who do you love? Who does Dad love?
Daddy.
How much do I love you?
Daddy.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it makes a difference. The place looks smart. I'm feeling a bit brighter for it. Feeling a bit better. Ella's getting a little bit tired. And that's probably not a bad thing. Bit of exercise for both of us. I mean, probably done about 40 laps of the garden. Good girl. You've got a hug. And there you go. Going to head in, get a bite to eat, make a bowl of soup. And we'll talk to you later. Take care. Say bye. You going to say bye-bye? No. Okay. Talk to you later, Nala. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Aw, thanks for that, Ella, and thanks for that, Peter. All that's left for me to say is that we're bang out of time for yet another Sod Show. We're back next Friday, 3 p.m. on Dublin City FM, in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. And of course, you can hear us online via Audioboo and podcasting all over the world into your ears via iTunes. More info on sodshow.com. Whatever you do in the great outdoors and whoever you do with, enjoy yourselves. Talk to you next week. All the best.